the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Hey, it's world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And where truth is our bitch, we welcome you back to the program. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. You can also go to philhendryshow.com and get thousands of hours of downloadable shows. And I mean shows that go back many, many years and many different generations of the Phil Hendry Show. We have the largest repository of any radio show in the world. Ours, the Phil Hendry Show. We're kind of the, I don't know, we're an example to other radio shows, if they choose to follow, on how to archive your material, how to protect your material. We also have a video cast. We're doing it right now. It's a live video cast. And behind me, as a matter of fact, on our green screen, or if you choose to believe, I'm at the Nuremberg Rally of 1937.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Nazis and stuff. What is that?
The Nuremberg Rally of 1937. What the hell do you want from me? I wanted to put something, you know, I'm here. I go everywhere, baby. I go everywhere. I do anything, man. You know.
With all them Nazis and stuff, and they all got tanks.
That's right. The Nazis had tanks. There we are. So if you tune in.
Looks weird.
It sure does look weird. It sure does look weird, brother. So there we are at the Nuremberg Rally. What do you want? If you don't like that background, why, we can then magically transport ourselves to, where are we now, bud? You got it. D-Day. Ow!
Man, look at that.
Here's D-Day. So we're going to have these cannons going off and guys storming the beach all the whole quarter hour. Anyway, welcome back to our show. And again, you can go to our website, philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass, and enjoy what you got there. Here's a story. I don't know if this is the one, Chase, that you wanted me to do. I think it's interesting. It's from the Star and the Atlantic and Time magazine. It says here in Virginia, a Virginia school district has banned a book on the legendary sleuther, that is, Sherlock Holmes. They've banned a book on Sherlock Holmes for its anti-Mormon themes. Last week, the Albemarle County School Board removed Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's first Sherlock Holmes novel, A Study in Scarlet, from its sixth-grade reading list. Several former middle school students opposed the removal of the Victorian-era text, one calling it the best book I've ever read so far. I never did like those Mormons, and now I know why. No, he didn't say that.
That's a little tiny kid.
The kid didn't say that. I'm joking. But the kid, you know, wanted to read about the, he said it's the best book that he ever has done read. Back in May, Brett Stevenson, you know, let me tell you where all of this is going. If we keep acting like a bunch of imbeciles, why don't we just ban corn dogs because it can make a good woman like Michelle Bachmann look like she's doing a slide job?
Yeah, she's deep-sixing it.
Yeah. Exactly. If that's how ridiculous we want to be, I don't know. These books need to be taken. I thought we already talked about this. They have to be taken in the context of the thing, of the time, of the...
Of the thing.
Of the thing. And you can't just jump all over these things and say, oh, no, oh, gosh, oh, goodness gracious, how terrible, how bad. You got to get with it, baby. You have to know, you know, the time and the place and what was intended by the author at that time. Back in May, Brett Stevenson, a parent... Oh, God, here we go. Brett Stevenson, a parent of a Henley Middle School student, complained that the story painted a poor, derogatory picture of Mormons. A Study in Scarlet has been used to introduce students to a mystery genre, Brett Stevenson said, adding, this is our young students' first inaccurate introduction to an American religion. Last Thursday, the school board agreed with the complaint and voted for the story's removal. It will, however, remain a part of the high school curriculum. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. John Watson made their first appearance in the book A Study in Scarlet, a short novel published in 1887. The problematic themes revolved around a long flashback set in 1847, Utah. A large group of Mormons, led by Brigham Young himself, are depicted as raw crackpots. Their religion is primitive and vindictive, according to critic Richard Corliss. The group discovers a man and child on the brink of death by dehydration and offer to help them so long as they adopt the Mormon faith. Doyle defended his portrayal of the LDS as having been drawn from contemporary history books. In time, he did apologize, and later in life, he appeared in Salt Lake City to proselytize for his own controversial belief in spiritualism. This is Arthur Conan Doyle. So it's very interesting at his during his times, the contemporary times that he lived in, after he wrote this book that was some thought was painted a bad picture of Mormonism. He went and he apologized and he spoke in Mormon land.
What do you mean Mormon land?
I mean, you know, Salt Lake City. Back then they called it Mormon Town.
They did?
I don't know.
Bet you they did.
Probably.
Probably called it, you gotta go to Mormon Town. Better call it Salt Lake City in the future because they won't like it. Why do you think they call it Mormon Town? Just to be offensive to them.
I don't know. It just sounds bitching.
Sounds bitching. Yeah, we gotta go to Mormon Town. In the future we'll call it Salt Lake City, but for now... Anyway, board chair Steve Colazar told The Star, the local paper Monday, that there are better books by Sherlock Holmes, ones that make better use of deductive reasoning. Oh, is that right? And who are you, Steve Colazar? Steve Coldsore, as they call you. I bet you if Arthur Conan Doyle was around, he'd say, I beg your pardon, sir. I beg your pardon. Well, I just don't think... Excuse me. I know exactly what I wrote in that book. Exactly what I meant by the deductive reasoning, whatnot, and so on and so forth. How dare you tell me, Arthur Conan Doyle? Well, I think that the book is good. You know, oh, do you now? Well, isn't that just grand? Ellie, thank you. You hillbilly. Anyway, board chair Steve Colazar told The Star that there are better books by Sherlock Holmes, ones that make better use of deductive reasoning for the grade six than Scarlet. Part of the book that deals with Mormonism may or may not be historically accurate and reflects the biases of the writer. Well, of course it does, because that's what books do. That's what books do. Not everyone was happy about the removal of the book from the sixth grade reading list. Of the more than 20 former Henley students turned out to oppose the book's removal from the list was ninth grader Quinn Ligallo Malone. He spoke during public comment to oppose removal of the book and called the work the best book I've read so far. I was capable of reading it in sixth grade. I think it was a good challenge. I'm upset that they are removing it. I never did like those Mormons and never will. He didn't say that.
Yeah, he probably did. Probably wait for him to say it.
Yeah, what if he said that? Let's say it. See? Make a kid. You don't like that Mormon.
I don't know, man. The parent who led the censorship challenge, on the other hand, was pleased. I think the process worked, she said to the Daily Progress. We wonder what Holmes would have made of this. We wonder what Holmes would have made of this. The Abramel board turns down parents' requests to remove books they find objectionable more often than it approves of them. All right, so there you have it. And the high school students can still read it. What do you think of these things? What do you think about books that were written in the olden times and have these views, however backward? You know?
I don't know. I think like that one book you were telling me about, Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, that book had the N-word and everything.
Yeah?
I don't know, man. I mean, I heard a lot of black people don't think it should have been banned.
Yeah, see? Why don't black people want it banned even though they say N?
I don't know. Because it's smart, you know, it's not written, you know, it was written by a great man.
Well, it was written by Mark Twain.
What's great about him?
He was a great writer. He's a great American writer. He's one of our great American writers. And Mark Twain was writing in the context of the times. Mark Twain was not an ignorant man. He wasn't an idiot. Mark Twain was a commentator. Mark Twain was a humorist. You know, he was one of our great social and contemporary commentators. Were Mark Twain alive today... I was going to say he'd have a talk show. No, he wouldn't. He would be too good for that. If Mark Twain were alive today and were given a talk show, he'd be fired in a week. No, Mark Twain would probably be he'd probably be on Fox or on CNN or one of these things, you know. He'd be a contributor, you know.
Yeah, he'd probably be a Fox News contributor and stuff.
Yeah. All right, so that's that story, man. So we're going to find out, you know, just whether or not Sherlock Holmes, man, is going to survive. And I'll tell you, I don't know. I just don't know, you know. I mean, I think it's better to keep the book there and to explain to the kids, this is the way people thought back then. And isn't this an interesting picture that they're painting? And what does it tell us about Arthur Conan Doyle that he says these things? And what does it tell us about Mark Twain's time that he uses a word like that? And what do you think? This is what you do with kids. You say, well, we're going to read a book, and the book is going to have some, it's going to paint picture. It's going to paint a picture of America or of the world at that time, and let's talk about it, and let's talk about the people. Why can't we do that? Why is everything ban, 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 ban? These, I'm telling you, I, I, when the day comes, man, when parents get smarter, it seems like every generation of parent is just as dumb as the one ahead of it. All right, we're going to come back here on the Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Things you didn't know hackers could hack, including your medical implants and your car. Plus, did Butch Cassidy survive that Bolivian shootout? Well, we'll find out. We'll find out why we are even asking that question. I don't think we're going to find out if he did. I could probably tell you no, he didn't, but we'll be back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. Man. It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On our video cast tonight, we have been featuring prominently the corndog photos. You know.
I know Mr. Hall is going to call.
Yeah, let him call. I mean, what do you want me to do, man? It's a news story, okay?
Just tell you.
All right. We do have the corndog photos, and we always will have the corndog photos, and nothing. What am I? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Five things you probably... By the way, I was talking to Rance and to Bud and Robert. I don't know how we got on it, but we were talking a little bit about the high school and the things we had to read. You remember the books and the stories that you had to read in high school, the reading list and the these different... we had to read Stranger in a Strange Land. We had to read Moby Dick. We had to read David Copperfield. Jason said that they had to read a book called The Giver, which I'd never heard of, and it was a profound story for his generation because it involved the death of an infant at the end of the story. And I said to him, it doesn't remind me entirely of Ray Bradbury, but I read a story by Ray Bradbury when I was in high school because we had to also read Ray Bradbury. We had to read Fahrenheit 451. We had to read The Martian Chronicles, and I forget which other one. And today I'm sure the reading lists are much, much different, although I wonder if the same basic classics are on the reading. You know, Moby Dick is a huge... Herman Melville was our first great American author. Before Herman Melville, and really before Walt Whitman, I wonder if the rest of the world looked at America as just this savage, barbarian bunch of ignoramuses sitting around and skinning raccoons, you know, and putting on funny hats. But once we produced a Herman Melville, once we produced a Whitman, once we produced an Edgar Allan Poe, the world said, these Yanks have got some talent when it comes to the world of literature. And in this book, The Giver, in a world with no poverty, no crime, no sickness, no unemployment, and where every family is happy, 12-year-old Jonas is chosen to be the community's receiver of memories. Under the tutelage of the elders and an old man known as The Giver, he discovers the disturbing truth about his utopian world and struggles against the weight of its hypocrisy. With echoes of Brave New World and this 1994 Newbery Medal winner, Lowry examines the idea that people might freely choose to give up their humanity in order to create a more stable society. That's kind of like The Lottery by Shirley Jackson, which we had to read, and that's about a town. It's similar to that, you know?
I don't understand about The Lottery or any of the other book. You said you're going to talk about a baby gun kill.
I'll talk about it in a minute, okay?
Yeah, but you did say that.
Yeah, I'll talk about it in a minute. I got another story I got to do here.
You said you did talk about baby what kill.
Hey, bud, you sound like you're like, you got something wrong with you now.
You did about baby good kill.
Well, you did.
Okay, and I will. If you keep talking about it, maybe I won't.
Shut up, man.
All right, but you did say you're going to talk about baby.
Hey, bud, I'm telling you. So anyway, that's an interesting book. So this is a utopian society where a 12-year-old is chosen to be the community's receiver of memories, and then he finds out the horrible truth about the society. It's utopian. There's no unemployment. There's no sickness. Everybody's happy. But there's like this big thing you have to give up, right? That's always like at the heart of all of these fantasy novels or perhaps science fiction novels or these futuristic novels. There's a society that everything is cool, but there's this really bad thing that has to happen in order for everything to be cool. And I was just like that book, the short story we had to read, which was the lottery, Shirley Jackson's great story about this town that once a year has the lottery. And it's a festive day, and there's all kinds of festivities going on, and the people bring to town their crops and their pumpkins. And it's like a state fair or something, you know. And they're going and they're getting themselves some whatever the hell, candied apples, and they're having contests and three-legged sack race, this, that. But at the end comes the lottery, and you pull a number. And if you pull the number, if you pull, I guess, the winning number, you win the lottery. But you know what you win? You're stoned to death by the rest of the people in the town.
What?
It's like they do it in a Muslim town.
Like they do it in some of those Sharia law places. Yeah, yeah.
Why?
It's just the way it is in this book, bud. I don't know why. But in other words, what the author, what Shirley Jackson was saying, and what this author of The Giver is saying is, you know, well, if you want to have stability and you want to have peace and you want to have comfort and you want to have a society that's, you know, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up?
Yeah, but you know something, man, I think that bull, how come it has to come down to that? I don't think it had to come down to that, you know?
Well, I don't either. You know, I don't either. I don't think you have to give up. I don't think it has to. And that's a very typically sort of Western way of viewing things. We always say, well, in order for to have this much, something over here must be lost. And I don't know why, because we are happy, it must automatically mean that somebody someplace somehow is being degraded or is starving. I just don't believe it. And I don't think that it's I don't think that's the way that it has to be. However, that was that book. And then I was going to tell you about that baby, right?
Yeah, talk about the baby. You said there's a baby that killed everybody?
A baby that killed everybody? No. It was a book by what's his name? Ray Bradbury. Now, in the book, Ray Bradbury, what?
Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall, huh? Yeah, David.
I got to ask you something. I just, you know, because you're coming on here with all kinds of books about kids that are being killed. Were you talking about guys that wear dresses?
Yes, I was. I was talking about the LGBT or...
Yeah, what is it with you? You're coming on here, you're talking about how, you know, we got to get up to speed with a guy that wears a dress. Now, you know that we're in contact with the LGBT community. You know that we're trying as best as we can to make sure that they're friends of the show and that we are going to get advertisers and we're going to have a very good relationship with them. Then you come on and you say some guy wearing a dress is funny looking. And which bathrooms he going to use? And, oh, yeah, he's got big boobs. And
I never said anything of the sort. I said it. I didn't say he's got, oh, yeah, big boobs.
That's what Bud said.
Oh, here we go again with you, Bud.
Well, it sounded like it.
And the other thing, what do you mean you're going to talk about a baby that kills everyone?
Wait a second. Wait a minute.
I didn't say that. He heard that.
Hold on. The baby doesn't kill everyone, okay?
All I heard was that Rance read a book when he was in high school about some kid that dies, some baby that gets slaughtered, right?
No, not a baby that gets slaughtered. It was a book that he read in high school. Let's forget about that for a minute, okay? That's what got me to thinking about this Bradbury.
Yeah, you're talking about Ray Bradbury.
Right.
All right, and then you said you're going to talk about a book where a baby starts to kill? What are you? Are you out of your mind? What I'm trying to do here, I'm trying to develop a base of advertisers, starting with the LGBT community, where we can have ads on for clubs and cruises that will take guys who want to be women. And
oh, that's great, and that's going to be on my show, huh?
Don't be a bigot. Don't be a bigot. Now, the other thing...
What has that got to do with me talking about Ray Bradbury?
Well, you're talking about some baby that slaughters everyone alive.
When did you get this slaughters everyone alive? You know, we've gone from me talking about a story where there's a baby that kills people to a baby that kills everyone to a baby that slaughters everybody alive. And meanwhile, you got me with, I got LGBT ads on the show now for cruises?
I'm asking what you're planning on doing on the show, Phil, so I'm not caught blindsided if we get these people as advertisers, that's all. And I heard you on the air, and you were talking about how funny it is to look at some guy in a dress and go, ha, 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 it's a guy in a dress and he still has a penis. Ha, ha, ha. Well, what if we had a cruise, an LGBT cruise to, let's say, Mexico? You would host a dance, and it...
Wait a minute, man.
Ha, 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 you're going to dance,
Shut up. Wait a second.
What are you, bigot?
No, I'm not a bigot. Why don't you let me know about these things? This is what I'm talking about. Okay? Let me know. Get me up to speed on this stuff.
Oh, well, excuse me. I didn't know that we had to work you into it.
I'm just saying. I think it's something that, you know, I would appreciate so I know which way we're going with our advertising.
I didn't know that we had to, you know, send you for therapy. I didn't know that we had to, you know, orient you. I thought maybe it'd be something you'd like to do. And now you, instead, you want to talk about a baby that, what, slaughters the parent? What did it do? It gutted them? Hung them upside down and bled them?
Yeah, get out of here.
We'll find out.
I'll tell you about it later. Phil Henry Show.
A baby gutted its own parents.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Marilyn, go ahead.
Hello, Phil.
Marilyn Donnelly, right?
Yes, Phil. Marilyn Donnelly with Adam and Eve.
With Adam and Eve is the name of the organization I want people to know. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing very well. I heard your program, and I wanted you to know that we're having our first LGBT cotillion at the El Segundo Armory. On Friday night.
This is an LGBT. Now, to let people know, Marilyn, you are transgender?
I'm pre-surgical. I'm I present as a woman, but I am pre-surgical.
You're pre-surgical, but you present as a woman. Are you planning on having the surgery?
I don't know just yet. Most likely I will. I'm weighing my options, but I'm enjoying life very much right now.
So, it's good to have you with us. So, you're having a LGBT cotillion. Can you tell us...
Yes. Well, I gave a little bit of the information to Mr. Dickman when I called. We're going to have LGBT, representative of the LGBT community. LGBT people will be there and invited, members of our community. These are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. It's going to be a cotillion, which is a very... fairly formal dance, and we're inviting all of the prominent members of the LGBT community, but we also would like to invite certain select members of the straight community, and we wanted you to be there if you wanted to introduce a dance or something.
Well, I would be very, very honored. I appreciate that very much, Marilyn.
One of the things that we're going to do this year, Phil, to give us all an equal footing, if you will, because I was very mindful of what you had said on your program earlier. Talking about how difficult it is, I think, for people to navigate their way in this modern world of sexuality.
I think it's just, you know, it would help. And I don't know if you heard the trouble that, what Adam Carolla was up against.
I totally understand. And I think that Adam Carolla, I think, reflects and echoes the confusion that you did. In our cotillion, we're having, as I mentioned, LGBT represented, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender, but everyone will be wearing a dress. And so that gives, I think, some equal footing.
Everyone is wearing a dress at this dance?
At our cotillion on Friday night, yes.
All right, well, everyone's wearing a dress. I mean, there's going to be men there.
Well, there are going to be men there. There are, first of all, they're lesbians or women. Gay are gay men, but then bisexual... LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Most of the people there are transgender, bisexual, lesbian, will be wearing dresses because they are presenting as women. The transgender, a great many of them are men who are presenting as women. Men who are presenting, I should say women who are presenting as men, but want to be women. But they're wearing a dress. And
they're presenting as men, but they want to be women, and they're wearing a dress.
No. What they're doing, I know it's very difficult.
Yeah.
So stay with me here for a minute. We have our lesbian, our gay, our bisexual, and transgender, our women who are presenting as men, but want to be women, want to remain women.
And they're women presenting as men, but want to remain women physically.
Want to retain their female anatomy, yes, but they are presenting as men. But on this night, we're going to ask them to wear a dress.
So you're going to have women wearing a dress. Excuse me. It sounds to me like you're having women wearing a dress.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. We're having men wearing dresses. These are women presenting as men. They're transgender. All right?
Yes. They're women presenting as men. Hold on for a minute. Excuse me. I've got a... I've been battling an allergy and tail end of a bronchitis.
That's all right. Do you need some more time?
No, no. I'm fine.
What we're doing is we are having our LGBT dance. Now, the transgender are, many of them are men presenting as women who want to be women, but are men. They are going to present as men on that night, but they'll wear a dress. We want everyone wearing a dress. That is the most important part of the dance.
Everyone's going to be wearing a dress.
Yes.
Everyone at this dance, including the men, which meaning the gay men and the bisexual men and the transgender men, but I guess that that's...
You're getting a little hasty. When you say transgender men, what do you mean?
I don't know what I mean. I don't know what I mean. I apologize. I don't know what I mean. Because I'm hearing you say men who are presenting as...
When you say transgender men, we have women who are presenting as men who are wearing a dress. Do you understand what I mean? That will be... And then we will have... These are women presenting as men who will be in a dress. And then we will have men who are presenting as women. All right? And they're wearing a dress. But they're men.
No, I don't.
No, you don't what? Wear a dress?
No, I don't understand.
What don't you understand? We have...
You got women that are presenting as men, but are women, and they're wearing a dress.
Yeah, I understand it. Me too.
You see, even these idiots understand. You don't?
No, I don't understand. How can you be a woman presenting as a man, but you're still wearing a dress?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, the women that are presenting as men, but are women, and are wearing a dress, they'll look very slovenly. They'll look like a man. They'll try to look more like a man. They'll be dirty and they'll stink. But they are women, and they will be in a dress.
So any woman that stinks and is dirty in a dress is what?
Is a transgender woman presenting as a man but wearing a dress.
And what about the men that are presenting as women and are also wearing a dress?
They'll look like women.
Real sweet-smelling women?
Yes.
Okay.
What's the problem?
No problem. Okay, so what about the lesbian women?
What about them?
What, are they presenting? Well, they are women.
They are women, and they will be wearing a dress.
Will they smell good?
Do lesbians ever smell good?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know where you've been. But...
Will you get her out of here?
What?
Talking to that idiot? I don't understand anything she's saying. You know?
Well, you say she, but she's presenting as a man.
Will you shut up and get out of here? She's presenting as a man. I didn't understand a word that woman was saying. First of all, she says that the guy who is presenting as a woman, and he really is a woman, but it's a man, and those will be women that smell bad. And do lesbians ever smell good?
I don't know.
All right, guys. 877-876-PHIL. Five things you probably didn't... The next time you are going to put her on the air, let me know in advance, well in advance, if you don't mind.
All right.
Hackers are making headlines these days like never before, from video game systems to... Wait a minute. If a woman presents... Anyway.
If a woman presents a man, that's going to be a man.
But she smells bad.
I'm sorry I asked. Hackers are making headlines these days like never before, from video game systems to voicemail accounts. It seems like almost every type of electronic device or information storage medium can be hacked to either give up information or perform actions it wasn't initially designed to do. Yahoo Tech gathered a handful of the weirdest hacks out there, and the vulnerability of some of your everyday devices might surprise you. Dig this. Medical implants, these can be hacked. High-tech medical devices like pacemakers and insulin pumps can save lives, but hackers can actually utilize their built-in wireless feature for less helpful purposes, like allowing a hacker to turn off the pacemaker completely or deliver a shock to the heart, which would cause ventricular fibrillation and thereby a cardiac arrest. Now, how in God's name can you stop that from happening, number one? And number two, who are the people that would do this? Researchers have demonstrated that certain pacemakers that use a wireless signal for easy tweaking are vulnerable to anyone with the correct reprogramming hardware. Doctors use these wireless programming devices to make subtle adjustments to the heart helpers without the need for further surgeries. Unfortunately, the signal they use is unencrypted, meaning that anyone who finds a way to obtain such a device could literally manipulate the heart of a patient, causing cardiac arrest or even death. Now, I asked a question. I can answer my own question. Who would do this? Anybody that would want to do harm to an individual, maybe a contract killer, a psychopath, somebody who just wants to see what it's like to do things. I mean, we don't know, folks. Insulin pumps are apparently even more susceptible to outside interference. And at the recent Black Hat Hacker Conference in Las Vegas, the life-saving pumps were shown to be vulnerable from distances of up to one half of a mile.
What? If you an insulin pump?
Do you even know what one is?
Yeah. Well, no, but...
That's a long way, I know that.
It is a long way. A half a mile. Using power radio antennas, hackers can hijack a pump's wireless signal and cause it to give a blast of insulin to a wearer with potentially deadly results. Wow. Number two, here's an item that you could probably, you could have guessed can be hacked. Baby monitors. Baby monitors. These are, you know, the things you can hear a baby sleeping. You can hear the baby in a different room. I didn't know that this was a computer. This is just a, it's a radio signal is what it is. It's like a walkie-talkie. So when you talk about hacking, you're mostly talking about just hijacking the signal. Having a constant ear and eye on your baby's crib is something that most parents take for granted. Baby monitors have been around for a long time. And in recent years, video-equipped versions have become very popular with new parents. What most users probably don't realize is that the dozen or so wireless channels that these helpful devices can use can often be picked up outside the home, giving anyone with a similar device or wireless receiver an undetectable window into your home. The vulnerability of such monitor systems was highlighted in 2009 when an Illinois family sued the manufacturer of a baby monitor system that they purchased at Toys R Us. After using it, why would you buy a baby monitor system at Toys R Us?
On account it's a baby.
Yeah, stuff would a baby want.
This isn't about it. It's not a toy. It's not something for the baby.
What do you mean?
What I mean is it's not something for the baby to play with. It is a piece of equipment that the parents use to ensure the safety of a child. Why would you buy it at Toys R Us?
Maybe they would sell it there.
Well, there's a good answer. Maybe they were selling it there. I don't know. Maybe it's a good place to sell these kinds of things because parents that go into Toys R Us are often buying things for children and have their children uppermost in their minds. After using the system for months, a neighbor who had recently purchased a similar system alerted them that their monitor's camera was broadcasting a signal strong enough to be picked up in the neighboring house. The camera's microphone was so sensitive that the unsuspecting neighbors were able to hear entire conversations happening outside of the nursery where it was placed. Imagine the good neighbors that they were, that they came and they said, hey, we want to tell you. You know, how often does that happen?
I don't know. That seems like a stupid thing to do. You could record it and write a book and everything.
That's what you do, bud, yeah.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Did you ever heard about being a good neighbor and everything like Phil was saying?
What do you mean, be a good neighbor? All I want to do is listen in for juicy stuff and see whether or not she's talking about sex.
Will you shut up, okay? I get it already. You and your stupid ideas.
I could have wrote a book.
Yeah, if you could write.
If you could write. Man, that's a good one. Man, he smoked you, man. Man,
oh, shut up.
Come on. All right. Newer baby monitor models feature frequency hopping technology that changes channels randomly to ensure privacy, but older, less secure versions can still be found on store shelves. Check the feature list on the side of the box when considering a monitor system. All right. Talking about hacking, things you can hijack, things that people from the outside can get to, a baby monitor system, a medical implants, yes, I said medical implants, now automobiles, you know that. Breaking into cars by smashing a window or picking a lock is so, quote, 90s. These days, security experts are worried about much more tech-savvy car thieves who can unlock your car, even start it simply by shooting at a text message or two. Many automotive systems, such as OnStar, utilize the same type of cellular technology as a common cell phone. Demonstrating the hack, once again, at the Black Hat Convention. This story, I guess, was... somebody got this story because the Black Hat Convention was happening. So, you know.
Probably said, hey, what story can I write? Write about hackers.
Anyway, we're going to take a break here. The rest of these are fairly, the human brain can be hacked into. Oh, I got to read that when we get back. And garage door openers. Well, no kidding. None of this is really all that shocking. Anybody that has tried to find their car in a parking lot and continually was pushing the little button that helps the lights go on in your car and makes it go honk, honk. Right. Anyone who's looked for their car in a parking lot and has pushed that button only to hear other cars honk and other cars' lights go on, I think it's fairly clear that these little radio signals and things that we use to find things that we own also, you know, track to other people's stuff. All right, we're going to be back here with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, more of this this hacker jazz. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Our look-alike contest on our website. Go over and send us a picture at Phil Henry, Real Phil Henry at Twitter. That's the twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. Send us a look-alike picture, and we'll post it on our website, and then maybe you win, you know. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
That's nuts.
Well, I went from, on our Phil TV and HD, we had footage of Tarawa, which is a battle fought in World War II in the South Pacific by the U.S. Marines against Japanese, and it's quite a dramatic battle. And then as we faded from that, as we came back live on the show, to a still of Marcus Bachmann sucking a corn dog, you know.
Well, he's not sucking it.
All right, okay. I mean, eating a corn dog. It had kind of a, you know.
Kind of, the air fell out of it.
Yeah, the air kind of just went right out of that one. But anyway, 877-876-PHIL. So where were we? All right, we're here now talking about stuff that could get hacked into. Now, you got to remember, if you own any of these things, they are susceptible to being hacked. And how do we know? Because there was a hackers convention in Las Vegas called the Black Hat Hackers Convention. And whether hackers attend this convention or people that want to be alerted to what hackers know, I don't know. I do know that recently, who was hacked? This past weekend, someone who was pissed off about cell phones. Did you see it, Jason, the news? There was a hacker attack on some agency this past weekend. And one of the things that has to be done, I think, to secure our, you know, infrastructure as law-abiding citizens. Oh, BART in San Francisco. Because BART did not allow cell phones, they decided to attack BART. And this is a, you know, group of hackers. You want to know how lawless people are. I mean, take a look. This is the Wild West. We are now back in the Wild West. You know, this is the 19th century revisited, where there are no rules, there is a large expanse of territory, of space, and there's no lawman out there yet. There's no sheriff out there. So there's people trying to carve out their little world, and they're being assaulted. They're being stolen from. They're being muscled by bigger entities who say that they're going to control this and they're going to control that. Everybody thinks they're right. And there's no law and there's no order. So it's the Wild West. It's called the Internet. Since Thursday, when BART temporarily shut down cell phone service in its tunnels to prevent a protest against police violence, the group Anonymous has gone on the offensive. It hacked into mybart.org, a website for BART riders, and leaked the names, phone numbers, and passwords of users. How about that? Now, BART temporarily shut down cell phone service in its tunnels to prevent a protest against police violence. What has BART got to do with any of that? What do you have to do with shutting down protests against whatever, BART? This is what I'm disturbed with and disturbed by. All right, moving on to our hacker protests. Not hacker protests. Moving on to things that can be hacked. Automobiles is number three on this list here. Breaking into cars by smashing windows or picking a lock is so 90s. These days, you can do it much easier. Demonstrating the hack at the Black Hat Convention, security expert Don Bailey and Matthew Solnick explained how vulnerable new vehicles are to such manipulation, leaving out the details as to how the hack works. He is a security consultant, after all. Mr. Bailey noted that the same hack could potentially affect infrastructure like power grids and traffic systems. But all is not lost. With just a few changes, car makers could close the door on hackers, though it won't be cheap. So you can hack into an automobile, start it, open it up, get in it, drive it away because of these wireless features that allow you to access the operation of the motor vehicle by way of some wireless communication. You know, like I said, that's why I don't like any of that USB crap, man, you know.
Man, you are so, like, out of... You don't have no USB mouse or nothing.
I don't want any US... Anything that's, you know, the mouse that I use, I want a wire on that thing. That's all there is to it. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Dan Northcraft, and our associate producers, Fred Scotty and Chris Johnson. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, for all your Phil Hendry needs. Check out our merchandise store as well. Our shot glass, our ball... Well, we're going to have ball caps, our T-shirt, our coffee mug, our legacy CDs, and, of course, our Phil lookalike contest, which we'd like you to access by going to Twitter, our Twitter account, and giving us a picture of yourself that looks like Phil. I mean, I hope that's painless, but probably not. We'll see you tonight.
Phil Hendry.
Roger.